When our children were small, if they played any sports, we are very familiar with the fact that when they're real little, the goal is low, and when they get older, the goal is raised up. If they start playing basketball when they're real little, you may have bought that little Tyke basketball goal, the little plastic one. It's about 3 feet off the ground, and your little toddler is throwing that ball in there. When they get a little bit older, the goal is raised up. I think when Carlin was in second grade and he was playing basketball, it was an 8-foot goal. And then when you get older, you go to the big boy's goal. It's 10 feet. If they're playing baseball, the little peewee baseball, the home run fence is pretty close to home plate, isn't it? It's not very far out there. If you get a little bit older, the fence is farther out, and then Major League Baseball, it's over 300 feet. It's way out there. So as you get older, the goal is raised up. In a similar way, when Jesus came on the scene, he raised the bar. He raised the goal. You may have noticed there in Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount, if you'll turn there, we want to begin our lesson there this morning. And we want to look at a question that Jesus is going to ask later there in chapter 5 as our lesson. What are you doing more than others? I want to look at Jesus' question that raises us to a higher standard and a higher goal. Did you notice in the scripture reading this morning, for example, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 40, if someone asks you for your coat, give him also your cloak. This is the first word is the inner garment, that which is closer to your skin. And then the next word is that which is more of an outer garment. Do more than what the person is asking for. He's raising his disciples to a higher standard. And then the expression that we have today, have you heard the expression, go the second mile, right? That's taken from verse 41. Whosoever shall compel you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Go more than what you're required. Do more than what you're asked. Jesus comes along and raises the bar and raises the standard. This morning I want to talk about the higher standard that Jesus calls upon us to live each day. When you go to school tomorrow and you go to work and you go out into the activities that you have, any of us can be like the world. Any of us can go out tomorrow and live like the world. That would be the easy thing to do. But Jesus is going to call us to live by a higher standard. It's easy to go and live like the world tomorrow, talk like them, act like them, dress like them. But Jesus calls us to walk by a higher standard. When Jesus teaches what we call the Sermon on the Mount, if you'll back up with me to chapter 4 in verse 23 to get the setting. In Matthew chapter 4 and 23, Jesus went about in all Galilee teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And then he meets his disciples in this mountain in chapter 5 and verse 1. That's what we call the Sermon on the Mount. But what is it? Chapter 4, 23, it's the preaching of the kingdom. And so when Jesus is preaching what we call the Sermon on the Mount, he is raising his disciples to a higher standard of kingdom living. It's not enough, he says, to be just like the world around you. It's not even enough to be like the religious Pharisees around you. I'm going to call upon you to live by a higher standard. Have you noticed in the Sermon on the Mount the expression, you have heard it said, but I say unto you? Have you noticed that before? You'll find it in verse 21. Verse 27. Verse 33, verse 38, verse 43. You have heard it said, but I say unto you, what is that? Jesus is calling them to live by a higher standard. You have heard it said, this is what the religious teachers are going to tell you. This is what is going on out in the world. But I say unto you that you need to do such and such. Jesus is calling upon His followers, His disciples. Verse 1 and 2 of chapter 5, His disciples came and He opened His mouth. To be a disciple and a follower, I'm going to ask you to live by a higher standard. It's not enough to be status quo. It's not enough to be mediocre. It's not enough just to be the common lifestyle of what's going on. I'm calling upon you to live better. There are some examples of this in the Sermon on the Mount. Look with me at chapter 5 and verse 20. It shows up here. The people of His day were surrounded by religious individuals, the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees. But He says in chapter 5 and verse 19, I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed, underscore that in your Bible, your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. You're going to have to do something more, something better, something higher than even the religious people around you. You will not be able to enter into the kingdom of heaven unless you do better than these individuals. We don't have time this morning to look at the problems of the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees, but they were God-believing, Old Testament-reading individuals, but they had some problems. And Jesus said, you've got to do better than that. Another example is what we just mentioned in verses 40 and 41. If someone compels you to go 1 mile, I am told that in the first century a Roman soldier could compel you, by law, to help carry something that he was carrying. We don't have that today. Nobody walks up to us today, a police officer or somebody like that, a soldier doesn't walk up to us and say, I need you to do such and such for me. That doesn't happen today. But apparently in the first century that's what happened with Roman soldiers. And so he's using an expression here that they would have been familiar with. Well, yeah, the other day there was this Roman soldier that told me to go 1 mile with him. And Jesus says, you know, when somebody does that, go two. Don't do the bare minimum. Don't do just what everybody else in society does. You go a second mile. Well, that's raising them to a higher standard. And then, the subject of our lesson this morning, let's read verses 43 to the end of the chapter. And in this part of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is going to ask a question, what are you doing more than others? And He's going to teach us to live by a higher standard. Verse 43, you have heard that it was said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies and pray for them that persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them that love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute or greet your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the Gentiles the same? You therefore shall be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And the word perfect here doesn't mean sinless. It means complete. Doing all that God wants us to do. The illustration that He gives is, notice in verse 46, it's easy to love people who love you. That's what goes on out in the world every day. People love others who love them. But Jesus says, you've got to do more than that. You've got to love those people who don't love you. That's a higher standard. The enemy who persecutes you, you're to love them. Look at verse 44. Love your enemies, not just those who love you. If you love those who love you, you're just being like the world. Everybody in the world does that. I'm calling upon you to do something higher. Love those who hate you and who are your enemies. Look at verse 46. He says, do not even the publicans. He's using an example of people out in the world. That's not republicans, that's publicans. It's tax collectors. He's saying, just the common tax collector out there, someone out in the world, that's what they do. They love people who love them. I'm calling upon you to live by a higher standard. And then look at verse 47. He uses the word Gentiles. We would say today, people out in the world. People out in the world, they greet their brethren only. People that are their friends and so forth. I'm calling upon you to greet and be nice to your enemies. And so it's the question then in verse 47. The newer versions say, what are you doing more than others? That's the title of our lesson this morning. What are you doing more than others? When we go out this week, it's easy to be just like the world around us. Jesus is saying, what are you doing more than others? What standard are you living by that's higher than the world? That's our call. That's our challenge this morning. Let's look at how Luke records it. Turn with me to Luke chapter 6. The admonition this morning, brethren and friends, is to go out and walk by that higher standard. Any of us can leave this building and be like the world. That's easy. But let's do what Jesus wants us to do, and that is live by that higher standard. In Luke chapter 6, let's read verse 27. Luke 6:27. But I say unto you that here, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you. Bless them that curse you, pray for them that despitefully use you. If somebody mistreats us, and I know that our young people are facing this on a regular basis. I was telling the class this earlier this morning that it was brought to my attention just a week or two ago by just some members of the church in the Nashville area where they're dealing with some problems among young people. Somebody says something that's mean toward another person and feelings are hurt and there are things like that that go on. Our young people are emotional about those things and bothered by those things and in some cases rightly so. But when that happens to us, do we think about praying for the person who said something bad to us? Do we think about loving them? Do we think about praying for them? Verse 29, to him that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer also the other. And from him that taketh away thy cloak, withhold not thy coat also. Give to everyone that asketh thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do also likewise unto them. And if you love them that love you, what thank have you? For even sinners love those that love them. In Matthew's account, it's publicans. Here it's sinners. People out in the world, they love those who love them. But you're to be walking by a higher standard. For even sinners love those that love them. And if you do good to them that do good to you, what thank have you? For even sinners do the same. That's what the world does. Verse 34, and if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive again as much. People out in the world, they'll lend to other people because they know that they're going to get something back. That's what goes on in the world. But Jesus says, why don't you give something to somebody even though it's not going to come back to you? That's a higher standard, you see. Verse 35, but love your enemies and do them good and lend, never despairing, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be sons of the Most High, for He is kind toward the unthankful and evil. There is a great reward for living by that higher standard. What do you more than others? That's our lesson this morning. The higher standard. Do we simply follow the world of sinners or do we follow our Heavenly Father? Right here in Luke chapter 6. Notice in verse 35, you shall be sons of the Most High. Do we want to be children of God this week? Or do we just want to be like the world? You know, it's easier to shoot on that lower goal, isn't it? And if the goal is lower, that's pretty easy to hit, isn't it? You can go out this week and every one of us can hit the goal that the world sets up. It's easy to hit. It's so low, anybody can hit it. But we're to be aiming for that higher goal. Who do we want to follow this week? Are we satisfied with the status quo of the world around us? And that's what Jesus is challenging them. If you stop and think about it, when Jesus came on the scene, these people, especially with regard to the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, in some cases, these people had been around for about 200 years, what we call B.C., before the time of Christ. Some 200 years of all of this that was going on among the scribes and the Pharisees. They had been entrenched in their traditions and in their teaching, and this is fine with the way you should live. And Jesus comes along and radically gets them to think about making some changes. This is a counterculture. This is a completely different way of thinking if you want to be in my kingdom. He's shaking up the status quo. He's shaking up the mediocrity of just being an average Joe out there. And that's what he does for us today. We can go out tomorrow and just be satisfied with the status quo of the world around us, or we can walk by that higher standard. And I know that all of us here want to walk by that higher standard. We want to be, verse 35, sons of the Most High. Well, in order to do that, we're going to have to walk by that higher standard. Which standard are we going to choose? There is the standard of the world, where we just go out and we just compare ourselves with what's going on out there in the world and make sure that we match up with that. Paul says that's not good enough. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12. That's not good enough. Paul said we're not like those who compare themselves with themselves. Anybody can do that. The apostles, Paul and others, lived by a higher standard. We're not going to compare ourselves with ourselves, with our friends, our family, something that is said in higher education, the media, the majority of what people want. We're not going to look at any of that and just say, well, how do I match up with that? No, that's not the standard we're going to use. You know, if you compare yourself or with your friends, you look pretty good. It's easy to fare pretty well with that standard, but that's not the standard we're supposed to use. So we're not going to use that standard. We're not going to look at these individuals and say, this is the way to live. We're going to follow the rule or the standard of God's Word. Turn with me to Galatians 6 and verse 16. There are two places in the New Testament where the Apostle Paul uses a word that means a ruler. Just think of a yardstick this morning, a ruler. That's what this word is. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 16, Paul has been talking about being one in Christ. It doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, you can be one in Christ. You can be a new creature, verse 15. And then he says, as many as shall walk by this rule, the rule that he had just mentioned in verse 15 about being a new creature in Christ, peace be upon them. The word he uses here is the word canon. This is not the weapon that shoots out a cannonball. That's another canon. This is canon that means a rule. We have the expression canon law, for example. Canon. It literally meant a stick. A reed, a stick, a rod that was used for measuring in the first century. It was a certain length, like our yardstick today. And Paul says in verse 16 that we need to walk by this rule. It's the rule that is laid down in the New Testament teaching of Christ. That's the standard. That's the rule. That's the measurement. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 16. We read our Bibles daily. We come here and hear lessons from God's Word. in our Bible classes and in our sermons, and we read and meditate on God's Word at home because we're trying to keep the yardstick in front of us. That's why we're doing that. The New Testament is our yardstick. It's our rule. It's our standard. Look at Philippians 3 and verse 16, where Paul had talked about pressing on toward heaven. Verse 16, only whereunto we have attained, that is, walking previously by God's Word, by the same rule let us walk. Canon. Measurement, standard, ruler, yardstick. Which standard will we follow this week? I believe we all want to follow that higher standard. And so this morning, I want us to consider that higher standard in some areas of our life. I want to encourage us to go out this week and live by the higher standard. Because of the question of Jesus, He's asking us today, what do you more than others? You're going to go out this week and you're going to do some talking. You're going to have some speech. How will that be more than what the world does? We're going to get dressed. We're going to act. We're going to think. We're going to speak. How is that going to be more than what the world is doing out there? So let's look at that higher standard this morning. First of all, Jesus gives us a higher standard for how we worship. Anybody can go to a church building, synagogue, a mosque, to worship. Anybody can do that. And a lot of people in Clarksville do. Anybody can be religious. Anybody can worship a higher being or a higher power. But what are you more than others? In Matthew chapter 15, 9 through 13, Jesus talks about the scribes and Pharisees who were worshiping God, but He said, in vain do you worship Me. It's empty because you're teaching as precepts the doctrines of men. And He goes on to say in verse 13, leave them alone, they're blind guides. Anybody can worship. Look at what He said to the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. Was she worshiping? Absolutely. She said, in this mountain, our fathers worship. She was a worshiping person. But Jesus said, no, you need to worship in spirit and in truth. Anybody can be a worshiper. Look at what Paul said in Acts chapter 17 when he goes into Athens. He says, I perceive that you're very religious, but you're worshiping in ignorance the one true God. And he corrects them. Anybody can worship. But we must worship in spirit and in truth, which is according to God's Word and God's will. And we're going to have some more to say about that this evening, Lord willing. We want to talk about this evening in the hopes that you'll come back. That well-known expression, attend the church of your choice. Anybody can worship. But this week, let's make sure that we are worshiping according to the New Testament teaching, according to spirit and in truth. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, the writer of Hebrews talks about those who had forsaken the assembly. Anybody can do that. Anybody can miss. It's not hard to miss. In fact, it's pretty easy. Anybody can do that. Anybody can let other things get in front of the Lord. Anybody can let, well, I've got to go to the lake this weekend. I got to hit the golf course. I got to, you know, mow my grass. I've got to do this. Anybody can do that. But the writer of Hebrews says, don't forsake the assembling. Listen, as is the custom of others. Other people are doing that. But you don't do that. You see, a higher standard. Anybody can miss. In fact, thousands are doing that this very minute in Clarksville. And maybe even some of our own brethren. Who knows? But we're going to walk by a higher standard. And how we treat others. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. This is specifically what Jesus was talking about in the Sermon on the Mount, that when you have enemies come, you don't hate them, you love them. Anybody in the world can love those who love them. Anybody in the world can greet those who greet them, but you do better than that. And Paul says the same thing in Romans chapter 12. Look at verse 14. Bless them that persecute you. bless and curse not. Look at verse 17. Render to no man evil for evil. That's what goes on out in the world. You live by a higher standard. Out in the world, when somebody does evil to somebody, they do it right back to them. But you live by a higher standard. You don't do that. Somebody says something bad about me, I'm going to say something bad about them. They hurt me, I'm going to hurt them. I'll show them who's boss. I'll teach them never to do that to me again. That's the world. But Paul, echoing what Jesus said, you do different. Well, what are we supposed to do, Paul? Take thought for things honorable in the sight of all men. If possible, be as much as lieth within you, be at peace with all men. Avenge not yourselves, beloved, but give place unto the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance belongeth unto me. Let God take care of that. He'll do something about that. But if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him to drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. That's taken from one of the Proverbs that talks about, it's as if you're burning into his conscience these good acts that you're doing, and that'll help him to change. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Paul says the same thing in 1 Thessalonians 5:15. Do not render evil for evil. That's what the world does. Live by a higher standard. Yes, it's harder. When you're shooting that little basketball into that little tight basketball goal, it's 3 feet. It's harder to shoot 10 feet. That's right, it is. But Jesus said, you'll be sons of the Most High. There is a reward in doing that. Peter says the same thing. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23. How we treat others this week. Walk by a higher standard. And it is terrible, the ugly things that are said. Ugly things are said that fly around. Things that are said and done. We have to deal with that at work and school and other places. It's terrible. And it's going to happen. But you don't lower yourself to their level. In 2 Peter chapter 2, and giving the example of Jesus when he was on trial, 1 Peter 2:23, Jesus, when he was reviled, reviled not again. That's what the world does. You revile me, you say some bad stuff for me, boy, I'm going to let it fly back for you. But he didn't do it. Read the text. He stood there. Soldiers are beating on him, spitting in his face. When was the last time somebody spat in your face? That didn't happen to us very often, does it? Somebody spitting in your face, slapping you, and he's just standing there. That takes character. And that's the example that Peter is saying, that we need to be like that. When he suffered, threatened not. Here's what happens today. You beat up on me, boy, I'm going to get you back. Better watch your back, boy. It's that type of thing. That's not how Christians act. And we pray about it, and we give place to God. He'll take care of that. Come down with me to chapter 3 and verse 9. Not rendering evil for evil. Why? Because that's what the world does. Not rendering evil for evil or reviling for reviling. But contrary-wise, we're to be different. It's a counterculture. It's contrary to the way the world thinks. Blessing. For hereunto were you called that you should inherit a blessing. We live by a higher standard for how we treat others. We live by a higher standard for how we live daily. Our dress, our speech, our conduct. Turn with me to Ephesians 4. We have come out of the worldly living. We're not going to go back to that. We've put off that old man. In Ephesians 4:17, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you no longer walk as the Gentiles, we would say, people out in the world, in the vanity of their mind. It's just empty the way they're thinking. Being darkened in their understanding. Their thinking is not right. It's not the light of truth. It's the darkness of sin. Alienated from the life of God. They're living a life that is separate from God. Because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their heart. we're not going to live that way any longer. Turn with me to 1 Peter 4, verses 1 through 4. Sometimes when we do that, they're going to think we're strange. They're going to say things about us. But we're going to live by a higher standard, not the way the world lives. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 2. Peter says that you no longer should live the rest of your time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. Look at that. There are people out in the world, when they get up, they just go by their own personal lust. Now, sometimes we associate that word with sexual sins. But it just simply means that, but plus any desire that's unwholesome. It doesn't have to be a sexual sin. Anything that we're desiring that's wrong, people live by that. And then Peter says, no, we're supposed to live by the will of God. Those are two different standards. We're not going to get up and just live by the lusts of men, but we're going to live to the will of God. Verse 3, for the time past may suffice to have wrought the desire of the Gentiles. Before you became a Christian, that behavior is expected of you. You're going to be in the world. But we've stopped that. The time may have sufficed to have wrought the desire of the Gentiles and to have walked in lasciviousness. That word means unrestrained, not held back in any way. Lusts, wine-bibbing, reveling, carousing, and abominable idolatries. Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them into the same excess of riot. We're to live above that, brethren. We're not going to engage in that. And they're going to think we're strange and they're going to say bad things, but so be it. And here's why. They think it strange, speaking evil of you, but look at verse 5. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the living and the dead. We know that there's a judgment day one day. And we're living above the things of the world because we're going to have to give an account if we live in the world. We walk by a higher standard for how we live daily. We walk by a higher standard for how we think. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. Our thinking is not going to be governed by just simply the philosophies of experts and scientists and those with degrees. And I don't want to disparage any of that because sometimes we have faithful brethren in those areas that are godly. But for the most part, there are many people who are in those types of areas that are ungodly, and that's the wisdom that is being shared, especially in higher education and other places, in the media, other places. Take heed, lest there should be any one of you that maketh spoil of you through his philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. I can choose the philosophies of men or the Word of Christ. We're going to walk by the Word of Christ. I was watching just last evening a very conservative host, commentator, and culture. From a political standpoint, you probably cannot get any more conservative than her. And she's talking about how to solve the gun shooting problem that we had just recently. She had some interesting things to say, but as conservative as she was, it didn't touch top, side, or bottom the biblical solution to that, which deals with the home, how things are done in the home. Even as conservative as you can be out there in the world, it's still human philosophy. We're going to walk by a higher standard on how we think and how we have to face problems in life and address issues in life. It's going to be Christ and His Word and not the philosophies of man. We walk by a higher standard on how we use our body. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 4. People in the world, their body is just, hey, you know, if it feels good, do it. It's just a body. It's my body. I can do with my body what I want. That's the argument of abortion. That's the argument of fornication and adultery and sexual sins and drugs and other kinds of things. It's just my body. I can do with it what I want. That's the world's standard. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3. For this is the will of God. This is what God wants for us. Even your sanctification. We've got to set ourselves apart. That you abstain from fornication. There's your sexual immorality. Any sexual conduct outside of a godly marriage. Fornication. Look at verse 4. That each one of you know how to possess himself of his own vessel, his body, in sanctification and honor. Look at it. Not in the passion of lusts, even as the Gentiles who know not God. That's how the world is going to do their body. That's how the world treats their body. Just lust. If I feel it, I'm going to do it. No, you live by a higher standard. This is the will of God. Don't do that. Is it popular? Yeah. Is it fun and cool and everywhere? Yeah, that's right. But that's the way of the world, verse 5. We're going to follow the will of God, verse 3. We're going to reserve that relationship for a godly marriage. We walk by a higher standard for how we maintain our marriage. Look at Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4. Marriage today among many is a joke. It's a joke. And people say I do, and they don't mean any of that. It's just words you say, leftover words from a bygone era where you're supposed to say some stuff when the preacher gets done. People don't mean that anymore. Let marriage be had in honor among all. And there are some older brethren here this morning that have maintained that throughout their entire life. And let the bed be undefiled. Talking about the marriage bed. For fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. That's the way of the world. Fornication, adultery. Supposed to have an affair on the side, a fling on the side, a love life on the side. Anybody can do that. But we're going to maintain an honorable marriage and keep that pure. We live by a higher standard. We live by a higher standard for how we make friends. Anybody can make friends. Turn with me to James chapter 2. Verse 23, Abraham was faithful. He believed God, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. I'm going to be the friend of God. I'm going to obey God. I'm going to do what God says. But then in contrast, look at chapter 4 and verse 4. Anybody can go out this week and make friends with the world. They're a dime a dozen. They don't care anything about you. They'll use you and abuse you, spit you out, and they'll go on to somebody else. And if we saddle up with somebody like that, there's going to be sin and problems. And they're going to influence us to do things that are wrong. Anybody can have worldly friends. But are we going to be the friend of God? Are we going to associate with those who are godly? And when we make these worldly friendships, James says in verse 4 that friendship of the world is enmity. We're at odds with God when we do that. Friends have taken Christians away from the Lord. Friends have taken Christians away from Christ. Friends. Remember the story in the Old Testament? Amnon had a friend. Remember that? Amnon had a friend. Well, that's nice. You know what that friend told him to do? Have a sexual relationship with his half-sister. Well, that's great. But he had a friend. You see? Friends. Easy to make worldly friends, but we live by a higher standard, and we're going to be careful when we go out and do that kind of thing and choose those relationships that are going to encourage us to obey God, not
discourage us. We live by a higher standard for how we love others. Turn with me and who we love and what we love. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Look at verse 15. The love of the world versus the love of the Father. We're going to pick differently than the world. The world just loves the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. That's what they're going to do every day. We live by a higher standard. We love God. We love His will and His word, and we're going to put that into practice in our life. Look at chapter 3 and verse 12 with regard to Cain and Abel. Verse 11, for this is the message which you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain was of the evil one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. You know how that came about? Remember that story in Genesis 4? How did that come about? They're both told, Cain and Abel are both told to bring a sacrifice to God. Abel offered up that sacrifice according to faith as God outlined in His Word. Cain did not. And when Cain saw that Abel's sacrifice was accepted by God, he starts to get jealous and he's upset at that. And the text says that he could have controlled his sin coucheth at the door. He could have controlled that. But he chose not to. It got out of hand and he goes and kills his brother. And John uses it as an example that we're supposed to be different than Cain. We're supposed to walk by a higher standard. You ever been around somebody in the world, their attitude is, well, I just couldn't help myself. I couldn't control myself. I let it get out of hand. No, you can. We can be better than Cain. We can live by a higher standard and love our brother. We live by a higher standard on how we imitate others and who we imitate. I'm like anyone here. We all imitate, don't we? We see someone out somewhere and we imitate that. In our talk, our dress, and how we act. That's going to be there. But we walk by a higher standard. John says, beloved, imitate not that which is evil, but that which is good. Anybody can go out this week and imitate evil. But we're going to go out this week and imitate that which is good. And then finally, we walk by a higher standard on what kind of a church member we're going to be. Turn here to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 4. We'll have some more to say this evening about Sardis, but look at chapter 3 and verse 4. There were members at Sardis who needed to repent, verse 3. Anybody can be a church member. We're talking about the Lord's church here in Sardis. We're not talking about denominations. We're talking about those who claim to be churches of Christ, Christians in New Testament churches. And we find in verse 3 that they're not living right and they need to repent. It's easy to be a member of the Lord's church and have sin in your life. That's the easy thing. But look at verse 4. But thou hast a few names in Sardis that did not defile their garments. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Be that kind of a member. Be the member that is not defiled, that is not walking in ungodliness, that does not need to repent. We're going to walk by that higher standard. Well, Jesus said, remember the original question, what are you doing more than others? He knew that there is a constant danger of just living like the world around you. I'm asking you, Jesus said on this mountain sermon, I'm asking you to rise above. Your righteousness needs to exceed that of the Pharisees. When somebody asks you to go 1 mile, you need to go 2. You need to be different and above the world. There's a constant danger of being dragged down. Do you remember at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 1? where there was a man there that had his father's wife. And Paul said, the Gentiles aren't even doing that. And we're just acting like the world around us, or maybe in some cases worse. So the admonition this morning, in a positive way, is to not settle for less. Don't lower the bar this week. Don't fall below the high standard of God's Word and just simply live like the world. And you and I can do it. John says in 1 John 5 and verse 3 that the love of God is to keep His commandments. And listen, and His commandments are not grievous or burdensome. We can do it. I've been talking with some recently about our home and family class and that we've been studying here and the great material there. And the comment's been made about, wow, that's an awfully high standard for a husband and a wife and those types of things. Yes, it is, but we can do it. We must do it. We're supposed to do it. Don't settle for less. Don't lower the bar and just be like the world this week. But walk by that standard that Christ has for us. What are you, what am I, doing more than others? Any of us can go out this week and live like the world. But Jesus wants us to do that which is more and above that in the world. You may need to begin that walk this morning by coming, repenting of your sins, being baptized into Christ. Don't ignore the gospel invitation, but come and put on Christ in baptism. Or as an erring child of God, come back in some way so that we can begin this week walking in the right path. It's a temptation to lower the bar. It's a temptation to lower the standard. And that's the easy route, and that's what the devil wants. But we're going to keep that bar up where Jesus places it. No higher. Not going to have it any higher than He wants it. We're not going to have it any lower than He wants it. But that New Testament teaching we're going to follow this week. That is the admonition. Let's go out and do more than what we see around us. And live by that standard so that when Jesus comes again, He will say to us, you are sons of your Father who is most high. That's what we want to hear. If we can help you to obey the gospel, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?